Dr. Randy Bowman, who's sitting in the back, was worked with us on this last year. Actually, he did all the work. All I did was sit there and punch it in the model. They did all the physical work out in the field, gathering data. And last year, we presented a paper that basically broke it down on a per-acre basis, kind of like some of the others. So we thought, well, the thing we need to do is put it in a typical West Texas farm on a whole farm basis, you know, because we've got a lot of issues that you guys are raising, issues about the lumpiness of investment, you know, the whole idea of cost of maintenance costs, all that kind of stuff. So we thought, well, the best thing to do is just take it. So this is kind of part two, kind of a sequel to what we did last year. So, and I got Mark Brown in there too, because he helped me to put together the model farms, and we worked with some farmer groups and put this model together. So those are the other guys you get to blame for what I got to say here. So we already kind of went through, Brock went through the situation that we got on the High Plains. We got a shift in varieties planted, improved quality, higher yields. He mentioned all those things, a lot of drip. And of course, a little bit of mention of the loss to domestic market. And then part of what precipitated this new study is new cotton harvesting technologies. So real quickly, just to run down again, in the Lubbock Classing Office, our survey, in just the last 6 years, we've gone from 91% of our land being planted to what would be called stripper varieties, down to only 4%. In La Mesa, they had 57%, which were stripper varieties, and there were none listed on their survey. So we have shifted from planting traditional stripper-type cotton to mostly what would be considered picker cotton. Our color grades, kind of all over the map, and this kind of is an important slide that I want to spend just a second on, because you see in 2004 how low that color grade is, and part of that's because we couldn't get the crop out of the field fast enough because it started raining on us, and we couldn't get back in the field, and we were out harvesting cotton that was too wet for strippers. This year, high, dry, like Randy said, we got 90.7% of our crop graded 11 or 21 so far this year. Our average staple length is up in the 36 range now. Brock had a real good slide there. He talked about where we were in the international market. This year's crop, the only thing we lack is uniformity. You can see where we've come on the number of bales that are 34 and greater. Of course, that's U.S. base. We're 95% better than that. 86% of it is better than 35, or is 35 or better. 67.5%, 36 and longer. That's just phenomenal from where we came. They now quote 37 and longer out of the Lubbock Classing Office, but we don't have any history to compare it to, because they never, and until the last 2 years, they never collected that information. Our average fiber strength, again, meets that international quality. We're running right up there in the 30 range, 29.6. Micronair this year, the problem that you know, Brock's didn't have this year's stuff in his, what he was showing. We're running a 4.41 average, so we're not in the discount anymore. Low mic discount is 3.4 in U.S. You can see that 3.8, I think he mentioned, is the U.S., the international standard. We've spent a lot of time below that 3.8, but that Micronair still continues to be a problem, and that might be a problem could be addressed with pickers. And then, of course, this is the most obvious problem that is addressed by a picker, and that is bark. You take a year like 2004, that's one that has that 50 on the top of it. When it gets a little moisture out there, you just get a lot of bark, a lot of bales. 50% of the bales had bark in them. This year, high, dry, open harvest, only 2% had bark. And the other thing that's happened, we've become a much more important in the U.S. Economy of cotton. 5.3 million bales this year. Next year, we're likely to be, just the High Plains of Texas have 30% of the whole U.S. crop. So since that's been, part of that comes, as you can see, from increased yields. Again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Brock already mentioned how much irrigated yields have increased, and how much the drip irrigation has increased. I did not update this from last year. Brock mentioned about 400,000 acres, and that's about where we are on drip right now. Our domestic meal use, which is where we used to grow our cotton for, has gone, you can see, has dropped from 11.35 million barrels in the 97-98 season. This year's projection, as of right now, we got a new report coming out. It probably came out before I got up here, but we were listed at 4.6 million bales for this season. Our export market has gone from, you know, in the 4 to 5 million bale range up to the 16 million bale range for this season that's projected. So do all these changes make picking economical on the high plains? Well, you know, it's sticker shock is always what gets us on this, but in all the time that Randy and I spent in the fields with more pickers and spending time with Brock, and then we spent a couple of days with the new machines, I think we've got some kind of a new outlook on this whole issue. When we go to compare, now, this was one place where I got to go with my colleague at Fort Stockton on our prices, because in our survey with growers of what they were actually paying for strippers, we don't sell a lot of pickers there, and what his survey work in Arkansas with their growers on what they were paying for pickers, we used a 16% discount, dealer discounts and all the different programs that they'll get together off of list price. But since we used it across everything, everybody's in the same boat, as opposed to, I think, previous two presenters used 10% off of manufacturer price. So we're looking at strippers running about $180,000, pickers at $370,000, the new John Deere at roughly $500,000, and the Case IH at about $460,000. Now here's the kicker, and this comes from actually visiting with guys running in the fields. Most of our stripper guys are running about 25 bales an hour with two strippers. New machines that, according to presentations we went to, and then also actually following the machines in the field, we're running up closer to 25 bales per hour with those pickers. Increased ground speed. Now this is in, like Brock said, it's in the higher yielding cotton. You know, we're talking 1,200-1,500, not in 300 pound cotton. Of course, our additional machinery complement that went into this, since this is a whole farm deal, looking at bull buggy, module builders, tractors, and of course the tractors are used for other things besides harvesting. So here's where we really get into what out of our farmer interviews that they decided was a typical West Texas farm. Basically, 3,500 acres of irrigated and dry land in combination. Nobody's all irrigated and very few people are all dry land. They're running two John Deere 7468 row strippers with a complement of two bull buggies, two module builders, and four tractors for 5,250 total bales out of that system. Now some of our guys, we had some disagreements on bull buggies and module builders, and some like to run three bull buggies to two module builders, and some like to run, anyway, basically that was our consensus. We just come up with two and two, straight across the board. What does the future hold? We got our two new systems out, a John Deere 7760 picker, which needs a tractor with a module handler and support to stage and move those modules around. The Case IH is pretty much all in one. We make a half a module. The module made by the John Deere, I'm sure y'all have all heard, is, you know, about between 3 and 3.5 bales. And the Case IH, with the big farmer that we've got there that had one, he was running 7.5 bales per module, per half module. So, and there's some other things that'll be different in what we did versus the rest of the Cotton Belt, period. When I was visiting with Rob, my counterpart in Fort Stockton that came from Arkansas, and he was talking about all the extra costs of the Case IH, of tarpon and stuff like that. I said, well, our farmers don't pay for tarpon. It's part of their ginning. The gins tarp all the modules. So when you get through that Case IH, you're done when it hits the ground. The gin does all the cleanup and putting the tarp on. We're in a very competitive nature with gins in our area. And one of our big ginners, when I was discussing this and talking about issues, he said, yeah, we're so competitive, if our guys switch to the John Deere, we'll probably offer to pay for the plastic wrap just to get business. So I doubt that'll happen when they actually see the cost. But so our total system, when we actually look at from brand new, you know, the stripper is actually the most expensive system because it has the most support equipment. There was a question about harvest, and in the earlier somebody was asking about, have we put anything into these studies about the timeliness of harvest? Well, I don't really have that value in here, but basically we're looking at on 3,500 acres with the rates that we listed. Now, some people say, well, I work a whole lot more than 8 hours a day on my running those strippers, and on good dry days we do, but then on days where we have moisture, it's freezing weather. You know, sometimes we even in a dry year like this, we had some days that guys only ran 4 hours a day with a stripper because it just was too tough, too much moisture. So on average, between the dry and the wet days, same thing with the picker. We upped the hours per day to 12. This year in a dry year, out of field surveys, what we got was the guys were running them 20 hours a day, and they said they could have run 24 hours a day if they just could have stood it. But two guys running two 10-hour shifts were picking 20 hours a day. So same deal there. You're going to have some rainy days keep you out. So we even with one machine replacing two, we still have increased timeliness of harvest. And so then we plug all this into our farm assistance program that we use with individual farmers to project outcomes for their operations, and looked at all the systems, and if I had a half an hour, I'd go through all the different assumptions we made, and those are all in the paper in the proceedings if somebody wants to look at them. But basically, our change in net worth is one of our key factors we always look at, and we've got the highest the return on net worth came with the Case IH Module Express system, followed by the John Deere conventional picker. Same way, ending real net worth, same result there. Of course, those are tied together. Debt-to-asset ratio, we worried about the risk of having these expensive machines and their debt, but at the end of 5 years, we actually have lower debt with the pickers. Net farm profit per year, substantial increase in profit. Now, you'll notice the difference in profit between 7760 in the Case IH or the 9996, that's pretty much all plastic wrap, about $37,000 a year worth. Ending cash reserve, again, our top two is just a regular conventional picker and the Case IH Module Express. And then the probability that we're going to, and this has to do with the risk involved of having that extra debt, and we see that actually our picking systems have even lower probability of being short and having to refinance operating. And when we look at it year by year, that first year, the John Deere 7760 with that $500,000 to $600,000 price tag puts us in a real risky position that first year we buy it. We got a lot of dry land acres we may not have any production on, and making that payment really, really throws a big kink in the front end of that machine. But the other two are higher than the strippers. And one of the assumptions I need to make here is that we chose this as a decision point where the farmer was going to be trading for new strippers anyway. So he had to decide, do I want to get two more strippers or do I want to get a picker? That's kind of the base decision you got to know. And our biggest concerns, as you can see from the top picture, field loss, especially when you got landlords, they don't like to see that much cotton left. We had some very preliminary results this year that will probably be, it's just a matter of further study, but variety selection is going to be key. And then, so in conclusion, our John Deere 9996 and the Case IH Module Express 625 came out very similar. Real net worth, net farm income, ending cash reserves, lowest probability of having to refinance, all factors. They were fairly equal in their outcomes. With that, I've got the stop sign. So I'll be around through the break, and there'll be a lot more detail in the paper and the proceedings online. Thank you.